Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
Amen. Amen. Good job. Good job, Tommy. The technical difficulty with the baptism, the heater's broken, so the people got baptized on Sunday, but it was a little chilly, so we're going to get that fixed. You guys doing okay tonight? Yeah. Isn't it amazing? The Supreme Court let us meet back in our building at 25%, so glad you guys are here tonight. And aren't you guys glad to be in the building? Yeah. We are glad that you guys are out on the internet, because I know that's a big deal for some people. So Pastor Ron has COVID, Josh had COVID, I had COVID. So, you know, it's all, you know, we know it's real, and people need to do that. So let me pray this, and I'm just going to start. Father God, tonight, Lord, as I woke up this morning, I wasn't speaking, but here I am tonight, just through circumstances. So God, I just ask that you would anoint me, guide and lead me. And I pray this more importantly than anything, because as you're anointing me, anoint the hearers, Lord, because there has to be two sides of this coin, Lord. We can prepare messages, your spirit could move, but there has to be a reception. And then there has to be some effort in actually stepping out and moving in what we hear. We ask this in Jesus' name. Everybody can say amen. Do you guys realize that there's two parts to this? Now, people come up, we'll prepare. Today, as I was called and said, hey, Tom, can you speak tonight? And I'm like, yeah. Now, I haven't been up in this position in probably a couple of years. I'm the campus pastor over at Cal State. I speak a lot at events, but not up here. And there's reasons why that's happening. But yesterday, I was praying about my Bible study this morning because of the text that we were going to be in. And it's so interesting that as I had two scriptures, I kind of noted out for this morning's Bible study that I do on Zoom. I was taking my daughter's car in to the shop, and all of a sudden on the Christian radio station, I heard both those verses confirmed within a half hour span. So I'm like, I'm right on. You know what makes me happy about that? If I'm right on about that, I think I'm right on about the other thing that God's putting in my heart. You do know that he's speaking in your heart all the time, isn't he? You know, I'll tell people that the only time that he's not, if there's a few things off bounds in your life, but if that is a truth and that is true for you, he's telling you to stop or get out of that, right? So God's always there speaking to us. We just got to be listening. And so we'll just start there. So last 6 months for me, and I don't know about you guys, how many people in here have had COVID? I mean, just throw your hands up. Yeah. I'm a firm opinion that it's serious, and if you get on it early, I think that you can help your experience. My wife and I had it very extremely. My wife had it really hard one night, and I was in communication with her doctors at Cedars-Sinai, and we had a plan to take her to the hospital, and the next day she got up and was better. There was two times that I thought maybe I'd be going to the ER because it went straight to my lungs. And I had a hard time breathing, and my pulse ox went down, and I thought, oh no. But through prayer and medicine, we got through it. And so, but the last 6 months, and I've shared a little bit of what's going on with me when I've been up here with Pastor Ron or a panel, but the last 6 months have been extremely more difficult for myself and my family than the previous. I mean, when we came into COVID, can you really believe it's almost been 1 year? They're crazy. It's almost been 1 year. My wife's been keeping track of it through the Firestarter devotional, and we're coming up on a year. So as this year came, I shared with everybody that, you know, if you're not in a trial or coming out of a trial, that there'll be a trial in your life. You know that right now. I mean, God uses this cycle for us. I was going down to Cedars-Sinai for a physical, and I hit the top of the grapevine. We'll never forget it. And my pulse just accelerated. And I knew something was wrong. I never had any problems, and I got down to Cedars, and my pulse was 200 over 100. I was in a serious cardiac position. They got me right in because I was going down for a physical as a cardiologist, and they diagnosed me with a heart valve problem. And part of the problem with the heart valve is my heart, my MVP, which is mitral valve, it will open and not close. which then creates stress on my body because my body knows it needs to close because the blood's going the wrong way. And so it was something that I never experienced in my life. I've been fit and healthy all my life, but they told me, Tom, this isn't your fault. It's genetic. Well, I feel like it's my fault. I mean, I'm going through it. And I all of a sudden started getting some rules and regulations in my life that I never had before. Tom is like, Tom, you can't work out. I'm like, what do you mean I can't work out? They go, well, part of working out is pushing the valve open. Let us get your body under control, and you can't. And I'm like, what am I going to do? A lot of you guys know that's part of my past. I'm going to share that a little bit tonight. That's part of my past. And it's part of my past where sometimes people identify me with that. And it's sometimes it gets in your head, right? It's like, it's true, that's all I am, you know, and I tell that to people because it's not true. And I tell you that next 2 weeks was really rough because my heart rhythm and everything was out of control. My blood pressure was sky high, and I just thought for any moment I was having a heart attack or I was going to have a stroke. I mean, I just thought that was going to way it was going to end. And one of the things was I didn't sleep very much at all, and that is not good. So I learned the value of sleep. But as I started getting closer to God, I realized that who I was and what I thought I was with fitness wasn't what defined me. And it took a lot of prayer, and I really had to realize that God had a whole different plan for me. Now, I couldn't see it because at this point I had a serious problem. And they didn't know what else was going on with me, but they were trying to get a hold of that. But for me, that was critical. And it's really interesting for me that as I was going through that, my daughter, who had just graduated from college in December, got a job offer from a great company to move to Tennessee. And so if I was having anxiety and heart problems before this, now having my daughter move 1,800 miles away, I just told her, I go, I won't even talk about it. I mean, it's just something that, when you're going through a health problem, all of a sudden you got another one. And so I had to get all this under perspective. And that's where the Lord came in. Because he worked me over through worship music, through the prayer. You give a hand clap. I mean, it was true. Now, I've been saved pretty much 29 years now. Saved in this church. Never. I mean, I know a lot about other churches, but I've never experienced it. I got saved in this church. And 6 years later, I came on staff. I'm still at the church. I'm a pretty simple guy, you know. It's like I find out what works. But I did notice one thing with me. I kind of broke away from that early just love of Jesus and getting to know who I am, because I'll be 63 in three months from now. And so as you know, you're coming into a period where people think you're retired, they'll ask me that all the time. Now that my daughter's moved to Tennessee, they go, when are you gonna move to Tennessee? I go, why would I move to Tennessee? They go, well, your daughter's in Tennessee. God never moved in my life to move me to Tennessee. He's moved my daughter to Tennessee. I go, I didn't raise my kids to follow them around the country. I didn't do that. I'm excited about what God's promises are to me and my wife. You know, I love it. I have one daughter in Irvine and one's in Tennessee now. But I'm excited about what God has for me in the next stage. I'm not looking at getting out. I mean, that's what the promises of God were telling me when I was doubting myself. Something happened to me which I've never experienced in my life. I lost confidence. I didn't lose confidence in God. I lost confidence in myself. And I realized that was a position that God wanted me in. I don't know if you're out there, and this is something you may have gone through with the trial. Maybe you've lost your job. I always tell that, and guys, I always tell that, and gals, I'll tell you more. Men are what we do, right? I mean, that's what we are. And I tell people, if you ever go through something like that, that's a big loss. And I know that's happening to some people nowadays. I go, it's not a joke either. I mean, there's certain things that I realized that I really didn't have control of a lot of things, even when I wasn't a believer. I mean, hope you realize that too. I had people praying in my life. It's the only thing that makes sense out of my life and that I didn't die or get killed in my earlier professions is the fact that I had people praying for me and their prayers accomplished much, which means I got saved and I came into the ministry. So as my daughter moved to Tennessee and it happened, I mean, I got a diagnosis and I was really excited because I had a stress test which showed them that the you know whether how the blood was going in my body. They didn't want to do a stress test because I was already stressed out. So they said, let's wait for a while, do a stress test on you, Tom. So I got it done and on December 9th of my brother's birthday, and I got it done and I was so excited because my doctor called me as I pulled into the driveway from Cedars. And he says, Tom, I couldn't be more pleased with your stress test. There's no blockage. The blood flows good. You know, let's just get on. I was excited about that. The next day, my wife called me, and she told me she works in the public school. And she told me, she goes, Tom, come pick me up. I'm sick. So I took her to the emergency room, and we were both diagnosed with COVID. Next day. So I was like, get one triumphal moment, and I'm in the battle with COVID. So I'm just saying, so as we had COVID, I was like, I got to move my daughter to Tennessee in 3 weeks. I got to get over this COVID and move. But it was just interesting how God moved in our lives. And I want to tell you that I don't usually, and a lot of people who are out there that know me, I don't do ministry alone. I always saw that I was better with other people around me. So tonight, I want to talk about today a verse in today, and I want to bring it up because it was in today's devotion. It's in 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 5. This is the Message Bible. I'll read it. You can read it yourself. It says, all praise to God and Father of our Lord, Master Jesus, Messiah. Father of all mercy, God of all healing, counsel. He comes alongside us. When we go through hard times, and before you know it, that's the little bit of the pause. And before you know it, he brings us alongside someone else who is going through hard times so that we can be there for that person just as God was for us. So it's telling us, it goes, for us, we have plenty of hard times that come from following the Messiah, but no more so than the good times of his healing comfort. We get a full measure of that too. So it says that stuff's gonna come in our life. But also says, after a while, we're going to be in other people's lives to help them through it. How many people have experienced that? To me, that is the blessing of going through trials. Because, you know, it's one of those things. I don't know if you've heard some of these phrases ever. Don't cry over spilt milk. I always sometimes go, where do these phrases come from? You know, the whole idea is if milk spills, you can't cry over it, clean it up and get another glass of milk. And then it goes on and says, don't cut your nose off of a spider of your face. It says, don't hurt yourself just because you have bad things going on. It says, don't fire until you see the white of their eyes. That means get them close enough. Don't give up the ship. That means stay on the ship because it's worse than the water. It says, don't go there. Don't hold your breath. Don't judge a book by its cover. And don't let the grass grow under your feet. I mean, these are all sayings that people talk about. But the crazy thing is that you have to do something about it. Jesus says, don't hide your light under a bushel. That is something. And he says it in Matthew 5:15 through 16. I want to do a quote real quick. I love quotes. They're inspirational. I always use them at weddings and funerals. And here's a quote. It says, we are all broken. We are all broken. That's how the light gets in. And that's by Ernest Hemingway. And I really resonates with me because I was a broken vessel. I don't know about you. And I knew I was broken. I knew that. I mean, I was raised, I always tell people that came from different backgrounds. I was a heathen through and through. I had never known Christ. I didn't know about Christ. All I knew was the world, the economics of the world, and how to get ahead. And I just did that. But I knew I was broken. I went through a marriage of 10 years and a divorce. I had relationships that I knew people were afraid of me. I knew I had these things and I knew I screwed up. But I like this this quote because it says, we're all broken. That's how the light gets in. I think there's a brokenness in each and every one of us, and I don't know what it is in your life. And I think people spend a lot of time trying to cram things in there. They try to do something. They try to fill that hole. I did. Filled it with a lot of things. But it was Christ that I needed. And once the light got in, Jesus wants it to get back out. And that's something I was repeating again. Once the light gets in, Jesus wants the light to get back out. And guess what? He wants to use you. That is, to me, the most powerful message of the scripture, right? He wants us to partner with him, doesn't he? I mean, as we go out there, it's kind of a cooperation. That's Jesus's plan as he was on the earth. He told his disciples, I got to go. They really didn't want him to go. They thought they had a good plan going on. He said, I got to go because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit back. And that's the light that shines out of us. So Matthew 5:15, it says this. It says, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify God and your God. And so the idea is, how do you let your light shine? My first PowerPoint is you have to be around others. That's what I'm telling you. Part of my healing through my heart and that I never stopped doing ministry. Took me about a month to get back in, but we were on the distance learning with churches, so I never stopped sending people verses. I never stopped not having them in seeing my verse. Johnny and Christina, are you guys here? Where at, Johnny? Right there. Johnny and Christina, stand up. They were in our Visalia church 15 years ago when I was there. That man right there was so positive in my life, and his wife, Christina. Thank you, John, for being there for me. I was in down moments, and that was, they were planning on coming up today. They didn't know I was speaking. We were going to meet before, but they stayed. So what I was doing, John knew I was having a problem, so I asked him, would you take over my Zoom Bible study for me? I just don't have the energy to do it. That's how I felt. And so then he started sending me worship songs, and I started saying, when did I quit listening to worship songs at my house at night? I had quit that. That was a practice I put in my life before that. So he's sending me songs. I started a list just on the songs he would sing me. And they were prayerful songs. So I do better in ministry with others around me. I'm going to say something, and you know, I'm not tooting my horn, but it might sound like it, but I'm not. I'm serious, sincerely this. I got inducted to my high school Hall of Fame in 2019. It was really weird for me. I've done a lot of things, thank you. I've done a lot of things, but they expect you to say something, you know, and I'm thinking, well, I was 15 to 17 in high school, what am I gonna say? You know, I'm a grown man talking about saying thank you guys, but I recognized one thing, and I said it. You know, as I was there, I go, this is a great, you know, it's a great honor to be in this, but I started realizing that the men that contributed to my life were already in the Hall of Fame. It was a man named Don Murphin. Don Murphin was a principal of South High. He was a superintendent of the Kern High School District. That man saw a broken kid and invested in me. There was a coach named Joe C., Robert Lathrop, Steve Strauss, Mike Stricker, and Eugene Walker. These guys were so impactful in my life. And it was because they saw potential. They saw a broken kid without a dad involved in his life and knew that there was trouble coming if they didn't channel his energy. And all those guys did something in my life. It was so funny. I remember one night I didn't go to practice, and the whole team came by my house to run by my house and knock on my door. And they said, Coach wants you at practice. I go, oh, I'm sick. They go, come on, Tom, you're not sick. Coach wants you at practice. They knew I was playing hooky, but they did that. They saw a kid that if I didn't have discipline in my life, was going to go off track. And that's what I talked about. I didn't want to say I did a great thing. I want to talk about the men that were in my life. Eugene Walker was actually inducted at the same class that I was, and he goes to our Cal State church. So it was such an honor to be part of that, but it was so cool that others were there before me. And I said, that's why I'm here. It's because of them. Not because of myself, it's because of those guys. It's the difference that you can make in people's lives that keeps me ministering Christ to people. In Hebrews 10:25, it says, let us not give up the habit of meeting. There has to be a habit developed. You know, next week's going to be Ash Wednesday, and they have 40 days of giving up things as a sacrifice to God. But it says, don't give up on the habit of meeting. You know, it takes 40 days to create a habit. And that's what they do with the Ash Wednesday and the Lent, is they put 40 days to try to build a good habit instead of a bad habit. So it says, don't give up the habit of meeting. So give it 40 days. Come to church. Go to a Bible study, as some are doing. Instead, let us encourage one another all the more, since you see the day of the Lord is coming. And during the pandemic, I know it's difficult. I get it. And I think you have to be creative. And that's what I want to talk about, is I've got a Zoom Bible study, and I think they're going to put a picture up in my Zoom group. And here's a bunch of guys. My hair's not good here because it's early in the morning. Sometimes I get up early. So that's a benefit of a Zoom Bible study. There's my friend John Ion right there in the corner. And if you see down in the right-hand corner is Phil Welch. He's the father of Brian Welch, the Korn guitarist. He's in a hospital bed. He had a triple bypass 2 days before. He Zoomed in because being on the Zoom Bible study was important to him. He's in there, and it was so amazing because Phil's over 80 years old. And it was complicated with the heart surgery. So he wanted, in one of our projects, as our Zoom Bible study, that's terrible, terrible hair for me right there. He wanted us, and we worked it out where we had a group of people pray for him the day before he had surgery. We couldn't get together with him and lay hands on him because he was under quarantine for COVID, and he was going into the hospital, and his wife, Mary Ellen, was an RN, but she couldn't go in with him. So we prayed for him. The crazy thing, Phil Zoomed in, and a week he was out of the hospital, and for his pain, all he took was Tylenol. And it was just amazing, and he lent it back to prayer. But it was because we've been Zooming in for almost a year now, and I'm with these guys Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We know each other. Several of us had COVID. Phil's had open heart surgery. We've had one lose a couple family members. We had one guy go do a funeral for a family member in Texas who just died of COVID. We've had so many experiences with our Zoom Bible study that it's crazy. So you can get something out of people. I don't want to do Zoom. I don't want to do a video. You can get a lot out of that experience because it's not about what you have to give. It's what God has to give through you to other people. And then I have an in-person Bible study that I do with my friend Steve Anderson. I do this one and Steve's here in the corner. My friend Steve Anderson goes, hey, let's get back together. So we social distance. I got my mask there. And so we have an in-person. You can do things. I mean, these are things that you can do. We haven't skipped a man cave since the pandemic. We've actually done more. I told Hector and the guys, I go, we have to use the tools at our hand to minister to the people that want to join in. We run between 70 and 100 guys on our man cave. So there's things that you can do, but you need to be around people. My second PowerPoint is be willing because it's worth it. Letting that light shine through you is be willing because it's worth it. I have people come to me and they say, well, how do I do it? I go, sometimes you have to step into the moment. You know, you just have to step into the moment. I might even say, and I say this at funerals, if somebody is there listening to what we're saying and they're still breathing, they have time to change their behavior. Because I tell people all the time, you're giving the preacher something to say at your funeral, right? What's he gonna say? You guys are giving it to us. So I tell people that we're getting shareable moments every day if we're around other people. We're allowing them into our lives. In James 1:2, it says, consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. Now, I'm like you. This is in the Bible. So I'm not like, yay, here it comes. But it goes on to says, you know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. Do you know that? When you've got a trial, are you believing what you're believing in? Are you calling out for prayer? Are you crying out to God? Because it says, don't worry to try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you become mature, well-developed, not deficient in any way. So if you don't know what you're doing, pray to the Father. He loves to help. You get his help and you won't be condescending to when you ask for it. Ask boldly, believing without a second thought. People who worry, their prayers are like the wind whipped waves. Don't think you're going to get anything from the Master. What that's saying is when you need help in your trials, come to God. He's going to give it to you. But he is going to expect you to move out in it. That's what I'm saying. Let your light shine. And this is how you get equipped. See, sometimes the problem is there's a process to this and people don't understand it. I'll never forget when my heart rate was still really high and I had to get blood work done. And I went into a technician because they said, Thomas, get some blood work before you go to the cardiologist. So he came in and he was sitting there talking to me because he was trying to calm me down. And because he could see that I was anxious. And so he said, so what do you do? And I said, well, I'm in the ministry. And he goes, really? He goes, can I ask you a few questions? I go, well, you're drawing my blood. So I'm a captive audience, right? And so as he was there, he goes, is this what you've always done? I go, no, this is my third profession. First, I was a decade as an athlete. And next, I was in a corporate world for 16 years, but I've been in the ministry now for 20-some years. And he goes, so what would you tell a believer who is finding themselves doing things that they shouldn't be doing? I go, you're just like me, brother. I go, that is me. I mean, if you ever go and read Romans chapter 7, starting in verse 14, you're going to see the apostle Paul struggle with what he's doing. He says, the things that I'm doing, I don't want to do. But the things I want to do, I don't see myself doing. He goes, so there's a thing that I see, it's sin, which is in my body, thanks be to Christ for salvation. So I shared this with this guy, and he goes, man, I'm so glad you came in today. And I'm like, man, that is so profound, because I don't want to be here. I don't want to have a heart problem. I don't want to have my blood drawn. But you have to step through those moments because sometimes it's what other people need. And it was so funny when I came out because they wouldn't let me drive home. My wife had to come get me. She goes, how did it go today? And I go, I'm struggling with this one moment because I ministered to this guy and then it was drawing my blood. And I always see trial as something that God opened the door for, but I wasn't like real happy that that's where I was. And God and I had a lot of time to talk about that, but I'll never forget that guy. And so it's those moments. So PowerPoint 3 is understand the process. I think Christians get disappointed because they misunderstand the process. We see God's kingdom through the same eyes that we see the internet or Netflix or binge watching because we take the remote and we go past the bad stuff. and we stop at the good stuff, right? And we might even rewind the good stuff, but we never want to watch the bad stuff because that's the way it is. We pray once and quit because nothing happened. Well, the Bible says that the effective prayer of a righteous person accomplishes much, not everything. It says when you're anxious, cast your net out. That means you keep praying. Every day you go to God and you keep praying. We try something for a few times and quit because it didn't fulfill us. We go to a Bible study, oh, we didn't like those guys. We'll try another one. I tell people all the time. I've got a guy in my Zoom Bible study that I think it was the second or third Bible study he tried, and he stuck with us. But that's okay. You're not going to hurt anybody's feelings. You don't have to get up and go someplace else. It goes, we take a shot at our dream and we walk away because we experienced adversity. You know, I this happens to me a lot. People meet somebody new for breakfast and by midnight they're in Vegas getting married. And I'm like, what the heck, you know? That's not the way it works, you know? It shouldn't work that way. And if you plant a seed in the ground today, what is it tomorrow? It's a seed in the ground. The crazy thing is the recipe for growth is in Matthew 13. You cultivate it. Sometimes that cultivating is uncomfortable. I get that. But you go through the process because it changes you. And it gives you experience. You know, you have to plant. The planting and watering happens through people in prayer and at church. So you can't watch things going on around you. And point four is use what's available to you. Watch your time. So what that means is wherever you're at, it's okay. I don't care if you want a new job. That's okay. Pray for a new job. But don't let it stop you from blooming where you're planted. If you're in a bad marriage, don't get out of the marriage. I mean, stay committed to the marriage because commitment is big. I mean, if you're getting abused or something, then separate. But there again, continue moving on. If you have a health trial, keep going. If you need a second opinion, find a second opinion. If you're looking for people to lay hands on you, pray for you, come up to us. We're still doing those things. We're all doing something, we're planting seeds. My daughter, who's in Irvine, really inspired me because, you know, there again, she's had up to 3 and 4 jobs. And she's really tired. She's young, so I told her sleep's optional. But she's really tired. She wants to hone in on her profession because she has a master's. And so the other day, she's coaching high school tennis, varsity. And she played tennis in college. And she was telling me, I go, honey, well, you can always come home. She goes, Dad, quit telling me that. That's not an option for me. Coming home is not an option for me because I know God has me down here. And I go, well, honey, it's always an option for a parent, right? Kids are in trouble, come home. You know, we'll regather. And she told me, she goes, Dad, I look at these kids because she's been coaching for a year. Last year, they didn't have a season, but they're getting a season this year. She goes, they're not committed. They show up to practice. They're really committed now because they know they have games in a couple of weeks and they don't have a practice on. But she goes, Dad, I'm committed to them. What would it say to them? They know I'm a believer. What would it say to them if I left and said I'm going home because I don't like my job, or I'm going maybe to Tennessee to move in with my sister to see if maybe Tennessee? She goes, they need to see commitment. If they see an adult or a coach committed, I think I'm going to raise up their level of commitment. And then they're going to believe in what I've been telling them, that I'm a believer and I'm a Christian. I'm like, honey, I can't argue with that at all. I'm not even touching that. You're never going to hear that come out of my mouth again because it's solid. It's good. I got a video real quick. We're going to show that. I'm going to invite somebody out. So just take a look at this video real quick.
Hi, my name is Tiffany Touchstone. I'm the wife of Pastor Tom Touchstone here at Valley Bible Fellowship. And we've been attending the church since the early 90s. So been here for quite a while. And I used to also work at the church, first starting out in education, working for the high school and then the elementary school for quite a while, I think a total of 20 years, and then I made the venture into public school. So that is my current position now as a second grade teacher in a small rural school outside of Bakersfield. Currently right now, my school is on a hybrid model, so the students are allowed to come twice a week in person with major deep cleaning that takes place between the two groups that come. And then one day a week, we do a full distance learning panel. So we've been through various school closures, but have reopened every time things are handled. If you would have asked me a year ago if they would have had the capability and technology to create a presentation or share their screen and, you know, share a Zoom presentation over Google Slides, I would have not really thought that that could happen. But they're fully capable, and their mind just absorbs everything. So I have learned that we can teach them a lot more than what we thought we could. We do two things. One is PBIS, which is positive behavior intervention and support. So that's redirecting children's behavior in a positive way instead of a negative way. We've learned over the years, science has shown us and research has shown us that that isn't working. So, PBIS is very well known in schools, as well as social-emotional learning. And what social-emotional learning does is it meets the child's needs in a social and emotional way. So it goes away from the academic and talks about like their mindset and having a positive outlook and serving others and what that can do for the person that they're becoming. Actually, before this even came about in my particular school, you know, I started giving the students challenges to go home and, you know, do something nice for their parents, help their parents, and come back and report to me what happened. Well, before the kids could even give a report, I was getting pictures sent to me by their parents. My child's washing the dishes. My child's doing their chores. My kid gave me a compliment tonight, you know. They said, I love you. They were the first ones to say it. And they're like, is this something you're doing in class? Now we incorporate social-emotional learning. So this is also a well-known topic that I would think most teachers and administrations familiar with. Most schools are doing it. But it's actually doing a theme every month. We have curriculum. We focus on different areas of social-emotional learning. And one area of that is loving others. You know, helping others, doing things for others, and how that makes you feel inside. I mean, we're taught that as Christians, that we'll be known by our love and by our actions. And so I take that biblical principle and tie it into the social-emotional learning. And so my students are just so creative and imaginative. On their own, they've come up with, let's do a coat drive in the winter. Let's do a canned food drive. Let's write letters to our veterans. Let's love others. And they are so much more excited about doing things for others than getting things for themselves. So when I made the transition from private to public school, you know, I thought, oh my goodness, I'm going to be just so held back on, you know, really sharing my faith with students. And I was wrong in that. I learned that while we have to be careful of particular, you know, guidelines and rules, that really it's about our actions, that our actions will speak. And so just showing the students that I care a lot more about who they are as a person than I care about what grade they earn. You know, what's going on in their home life? Is there something that's going on at home? That has become a mission field. And many times they're the ones that bring up God and talk about prayer in class. And I'll just let them talk. You know, I have told them I can't really foster this conversation. However, you are free to speak about it, and they just run with it. And, you know, somewhere, most of them along the line, they've had some sort of, you know, form of teaching about God in their life from a grandparent or, you know, going to a Sunday school class. And many times that's, you know, brought up again. And it's just great to see how, you know, they always go back to that seed that's been planted. I would say that I think no matter what your profession is, that people are watching you. They'll know you and they'll see what's different in how you behave. They're going to definitely, and we've heard this many times, they'll know you by your actions over your words. And it's not a huge project. It's not a big thing that you have to go into your workplace and do. It's a million little things that add up to make a big difference. And so that's what I would encourage anyone in secular employment to do, is find those little things that they can touch and just put that touch of Christianity on.
Yeah. When my wife went into the public school system, she's like, I just don't know what to do. My wife now will tell you, I think that is the biggest mission field Christianity has. She goes, I haven't been hindered by that. She's had to go to her principal all the time and goes, hey, we talked about the Lord today in our classroom. He goes, Tiffany, I know what you do. It's okay. You know, he's not pushing it down. She's just basically, you can be someplace and you can share your faith without ever having to read a scripture. You know that? You can do that. A lot of people say we're the only Bible they'll read until they open up the real Bible is our action. So hope you got something out of that. So I've got my friend Gennaro up here. Gennaro and I partner up over at the CSUB campus. He's a high school guy over there. Does a great job. And he's going to come up and he's going to talk about working through trials, comforting him, how he saw it happen. So go ahead and share. Jernal had something happen this year.
Yeah, so let your light shine. I love that verse. And one of the things that I've been trying to do, especially recently, is being able to give people a window into my life. And for those of you guys who know me, you hear that verse a lot. And the reason why I do it is because I love to share, whether it's insecurities, whether it's trials that I'm going through, whether it's, you know, anxieties, fears, worries, whatever, I love to share what I'm going through, but at the same time be able to talk about how either God has brought me through that situation or how he's giving me freedom in the midst of those situations. And so
this is my water, right?
Yeah, that's okay. Yours. That's
I
yours.
I don't want to steal your water.
Yeah. And so with that being said, we had talked beforehand, and one of the trials that I recently went through in the thick of COVID, I lost my dad. And it was probably one of the toughest seasons I have ever faced. And I think it's due to our relationship wasn't the greatest. And so my mind was always wrapped around the what ifs. Like, what if, you know, I tried harder? What if he was still here? How would our relationship be different? And I found this verse in Proverbs 17:22. And it talks about how a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. And I realized that was my spirit. It was just crushed. And I know there is a time and place to mourn, and I had that time. However, I got carried away. I beat myself up. And during that time, I kind of just segregated myself from people and friends. I ended up turning off my phone so no one would call me, and quickly realized that was the worst thing that I can possibly do. I ended up going to scripture. I started reading in Philippians, and I learned about this guy, Paul, and I'm sure most of us know this story, but in the first four chapters, about 16 times, he uses words like rejoice and be joyful. And it doesn't make sense because he's in prison. And I'm sure he's being beaten. I'm sure there's torture happening. It says at one point he's tied to a Roman soldier. So I'm sure he's not given any space. But yet he's telling us that we need to rejoice and be joyful. And so one of the things that I've learned from Paul is that unshakable joy is rooted in Christ. And so for me, what God showed me in the midst of this, you know, situation, in the midst of this season, I guess we can say, of losing my dad, was God had showed me that where my focus needs to be is looking through life through the lens of faith. And so now it's not about the what ifs anymore, right? It's not about what could have happened. Now it's in Jesus' name. I know that my dad isn't going through stress. He isn't going through any pain anymore because now he is spending eternity with the creator of the universe. And that is a gift that I now have. And so, I heard this story and I wanted to share it with you guys. It's kind of a silly story, but it kind of helped me in going through this. There's a daughter who is, everything's going wrong. She's facing so many different kinds of adversities in life. It's physical, it's mental, it's financial. And she goes to her dad, who's a chef, and she asks her dad, she says, nothing's going my way. I need help. I need you to help me in this situation. And what he does is he grabs a pot of water, he grabs two, and in one he puts potatoes, and in the other pot he ends up putting coffee beans. And so he puts them in boiling water and doesn't say a single word to his daughter. And his daughter's very upset at this point, going like, what are you doing? Like, this doesn't make any sense. And he's quiet. And at the end of it, he says, what do you see? And she's frustrated at this point. She says, well, I see coffee beans and I see potatoes. Like, there's no difference. And he says, look closer. And as she touched the potato, she noticed that they were soft. And the coffee beans, she noticed that they turned into something new, something creative, something amazing. And the crazy thing is they both face the same adversity. Mm-hmm. And the question that I kind of had for myself is, how am I going to react? Am I going to look through life with the eyes that I have right now? Or am I going to look through life through the lens of faith? And so that's really what had got me through it. And I thank the friends that I have who have helped me, who have showed me in the similar situations that they have gone through, really been the church. And I can't just thank, you know, this church enough for the help that I received. So, yeah, that's it.
So, Gennaro, What would you say is the best advice you give the high schoolers about the stuff that they're going through, or somebody like this, some of the things that they're going through?
Similar to looking through the lens of faith, one of the things that I love to share with your high school kids is it's okay to feel those emotions. Like, yeah. Those emotions are real. I'm not saying we need to be a robot and just kind of go through life. Feel those emotions. However, don't let those emotions get the best of you, because there's a difference between living a life based on feelings and living a life based on facts and truth, and that is God's word.
So, and it's faith, too.
And it's faith.
Yeah, 100%. They should balance them out, because when you're looking through fear, all you see is what the devil wants you to see. But when you look through faith, you see the hope in Christ and what he has for us coming through the trial. So anything else you want to share? Last thing? No?
No, that's it. Yeah.
Okay. So thank you, General, for coming out and sharing that. So let me pray this and end this up. Father God, tonight, I pray, Lord, that as we're here, Lord, as we've shared some thoughts and ideas, I know everybody in this room has something they've either come through, they're going through, or they're in right now. Pray, God, that you would start to minister in that moment, that you can use them, and how potentially powerful it is to let you shine through them. Pray, God, that as they find these moments, that they can step through them, be very related to people, human beings. I think, God, you give us other people to be part of our life for us to have a relationship with. Pray, God, that as we have relationships, God, is it a way for us to minister to Christ to them? It's a way for us to show the power of God and the value in our life. So I pray, God, that you give all the believers that are here in the room, out in the audience, this ability to let their light shine. Pray, God, if right now people are out there and they say, I'm going through stuff, maybe I'm broken and the light shining in, and you want to accept that as Christ into your life, just where you're at, just raise your hand. You can be out there right now and just say, right now I want to accept Christ into my life. Just raise your hand where you're up. Keep it up. Only you and God see that. God sees the hands. So if everybody would just pray with me and them at the same time, say, Dear Lord, thank you for the gift of Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross. For my sins, he paid a penalty I owed for sins I committed. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you meant that prayer, wake up tomorrow morning, read the Bible, tell somebody I've accepted Christ tonight, and contact us. Adrian Monet has small groups. Nicole Dickey has the women's small group. Adrian has the men's. Get plugged in, because there's a journey that you're going to enjoy through that. God bless. Have a great day out there. See you Sunday.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King, here is our love.